Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, from the kitchen, it is good evening to you and how you be at 7:04 on a Monday evening right here on your fan, New York City. Steve Summers here and you there on the other side of the kitchen at 345 Hudson, Paulie Rosenberg, and no from the 1-877-337-6666. It'll be a 5-hour marathon schmooze right up until Sal Licata. And Sal, he'll be coming your way at midnight tonight on your fan, New York City.
Hello? Oh, gee, I can't talk right now. Why don't you give me your home number and I'll call you later?
Well, I'm sorry. We're not allowed to do that.
Oh, I guess you don't want people calling you at home. Well, now you know how I feel.
Nothing for you.
I don't understand. I made a reservation. Do you have my reservation?
Yes, we do. Unfortunately, we ran out of cars.
But the reservation keeps the car here. That's why you have the reservation.
I know why we have reservations.
I don't think you do. See, you know how to take the reservation. You just don't know how to hold the reservation. And that's really the most important part of the reservation, the hold.
One of those problems I hope would just go away.
Well, sometimes you can't help these people till they hit rock bottom.
And now, as advertised, here's Jerry. Jerry, how the hell are you?
Steve, fantastic. So good to be back with you in the schmooze room. How are you feeling?
Well, we're doing okay. And, of course, we trust that you and your family safe and healthy and sound.
Yes, we all
is good and better than that, yes. Everybody's good.
Yes, all good.
Okay, before we get into the Mets and New York sports and
yeah.
Jerry Seinfeld, you realize that having you on tonight signals the end of a fake feud, since there really wasn't much of a feud to begin with really just a long absence with life and the two of us moving forward without communicating for a while.
Yes, that's what happened. I'm sorry for any misunderstandings or confusion. I missed the feud. I was I wasn't listening to the station for a while, and I missed the whole thing. And I think it had to do. Do you want to? Should we resolve it publicly now? In case
sure. Yeah, well, sure. Because otherwise, people are going to think we're hiding the issue. But again, years ago I had asked you for Larry David's email, and you gave it to me, and he came on,
right?
And we had a terrific interview. I mean, he actually said at the very end he would love to come on again. He enjoyed
right.
the interview, so it worked out fine. Then I guess a year or two after that,
right.
wanted to get back to him,
right?
But his email had changed, so I had asked you, Larry David's new email. And your response said, and maybe you misunderstood, I don't know, but your response was, with the email, that's
friends
not
don't
what,
do
not
that.
What, Yeah, that's right. Not what friends do.
This is not what friends do. Now, I heard that story, and I thought, what could I have been thinking to have said that? And the only thing I could come up with was maybe I didn't know or didn't remember that Larry had already been on your show, and you were just looking for what the young people call the hookup.
Yeah.
To get to Larry, and I didn't feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah,
is that possible?
Yeah, of course.
And, well, maybe that's what happened. And in any event, I apologize for how that came off.
Well, you don't have to do that. But I think it was important for us to bring it up because,
yeah.
And I didn't mention anything on the air about it until the morning show did.
Right.
I guess, how did they
know about it?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't know how they got to know about it, but I may have mentioned it and had to mention it to one of my producers off the air. I didn't want to embarrass you. I didn't want to embarrass myself either.
Right.
But I had to mention it, obviously, to someone. And we're talking a couple of years ago. We're not talking 2 or 3 weeks ago. So we're
right.
talking a couple of years ago. And I guess, you know, he might have asked me, why not Seinfeld? It's been a while.
Right.
And I said, I haven't heard from him. He hasn't heard from me, et cetera, et cetera. And then I got into it. I said, well, you know, I felt hurt a little bit because, you know, I very innocently was asking him a second time for Larry David's email and wasn't getting it, and I thought I had offended you.
Oh, and gosh, no, you can't offend me.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I heard a snip in the morning, Greg Giannotti telling a story about me calling in and that he was maybe producing for you one
That's
night.
That's right. He didn't get that whole story. What was that one? Well, he was basically the producer when we had Larry David on.
Right.
And he was confirming how much Larry David enjoyed the interview.
Right.
And, you know, he's a big Yankee fan, and we were talking about Curb Your Enthusiasm, et cetera, et cetera, and working with you and the Seinfeld show and just life in general. Mm-hmm. And we had him on for about a half hour, 35 minutes. And not that I'm any kind of Mike Wallace with the probing questions, but it did work out, you know, very well. And he said he would be more than happy to come back on again. And that's when I got around to ask you for a second email because I couldn't get in touch with them.
No, but I thought I heard Greg say something that there was something that I said to him as a producer that he didn't care for.
Oh, that I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I mean, no, because that...
I love these things. You know, this is where we get comedy from. It's from these little tweaks and misunderstandings.
Well, it happens, but you know what the best thing about it all is? That something like this right now happens so that we could get around to where we have been and move forward. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Sure. Of course, there is no bottom line because we never add it all up. We just keep going.
Yeah, of course. But I'm so everyone associated with the station is happy you're on. They were talking about it all day.
Oh, and that's nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sure. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, really. I mean, that's
I'm one of the originators. I'm one of the early adopters.
Right.
Right. I'm one of the biggest supporters of the station over many, many years at this time.
Yeah.
And I'm still a loyal listener. I enjoy it. And you want to know what am I really enjoying now? The Yankee fan base has suddenly and unexpectedly found themselves in a unfamiliar and uncomfortable spot in the New York baseball hierarchy.
Well, they think the sky is falling.
Yes. 5-10 really upset them. And I'm listening to, I hear them calling in. And Yankee fans, you know, I have a lot of my good friends, especially Larry, are huge Yankee fans. I know lots of Yankee fans, and I love Yankee fans, and I can tell you a fun brush with greatness. I bumped into Derek Jeter at a restaurant recently, but that's a different story,
okay.
And we had a fun time talking. But And I always say to the Yankee fans, you know, I have no problem with the proud Yankee fan, the boastful Yankee fan.
Right.
The do you know our great history Yankee fan? The arrogant Yankee fan. I don't have any issue. There's only one Yankee fan I cannot bear.
What's that?
The moist Yankee fan.
The moist.
The moist, the wet-eyed, teary Yankee fan.
Uh-huh.
When they talk about, you know, the greatness. Yeah. And they get moist when someone passes, you know, when they talk about what do they call the core four? That sometimes they'll get moist.
Yes.
With the core four, you know, because if you take their if you take their relevance away, they've got nothing. That's why I do feel sympathetic to them as Met fans.
Yeah.
When things aren't going well, we're fine. We're used to it. But the Yankee fan doesn't have that, has no, what do we call it, resilience.
Well,
not used to tough times.
See, with Sports Talk Radio, we have 24 hours between games.
Right.
To analyze and micro-analyze and overreact.
Yeah.
Because nobody can see far enough of the overall picture of 162
right.
games where things can turn around.
Yeah, but I love that. Because the sports is the perfect lens of all human frailties.
Yeah.
It shows you the flawed thinking, the overreacting, the lack of perspective. All the things that we need in life, we don't have them in sports. The only thing we know how to do is whine, complain, and celebrate. And we have no real moderation, regulation, which is what you need to survive in life. Sports does not help you with that. So that's why I like to listen to sports radio more than I do most any other kind of talking, because it's very emotional, it's very idiotic, it's all the flaws in human thinking come out when people talk about their team or they talk about games.
Well, is it fair to say that emotion floats on a sea of reason?
In a leaky boat. Emotion floats in a leaky boat on the sea of reason.
Yes.
Just waiting for the next wave to topple it.
You know, I wanted, before we get into more with the Yankees and certainly with the Metropolitans.
Oh, the Mets. Let's talk about the Mets.
We'll do that now. What I was going to ask you, like, because of the times that we're living in and last year so surreal, now it's getting a little bit better with vaccinations and moving forward and things have relaxed. I wanted to ask you, if you're a comedian and you're quarantined, does that mean you can only tell inside jokes?
Oh, boy.
Look out.
That will qualify. Thank you, sir.
I couldn't wait long enough to say that.
I'd love to see the scratch pad where that joke was figured out.
All right, and it's old. And listen, it's already a year old. Do you think that's the first time I mentioned that? All right, when the Mets were for sale, did you give any thought at all to buying them?
No. First of all, I don't have that kind of money, although I am very flattered that people think I do. Second of all, I don't need more people yelling at me on 79th Street when the Mets are in a losing streak, and why don't I fire the manager? I already am the lightning rod for all New York Mets emotions on the streets of New York City, which is where I spend a lot of my time out on the streets. So, and third of all, and you know this philosophy from me anyway, the absolute pinnacle of being a baseball fan is a seat, a hot dog, and a beer. There is nothing above that. There's no ownership does not make that experience any better. So why complicate perfection?
Do you know Steve Cohen?
I love when you give the like the high-end shrink. And how long have you been feeling this way? I don't know Steve Cohen, but I did email him when he closed the deal just to congratulate him. I think I met him one time at something, and he sent back a very nice email. And that guy has done some amazing things already in changing what we call tonal culture, which is so essential for team chemistry, team fan chemistry, team city chemistry. And look how quick, and let me tell you something else. Let's talk about the, what you have now going on in Flushing is a smile culture. You have an enthusiasm culture, something you can't bottle, can't buy it, can't make it. You either have it or you don't have it. And you bring on a guy like Mr. Lindor and Dom Smith, who we already had, and a Stroman, who we already had, and all of a sudden you see the swirling smile culture. This is a powerful, powerful element in the chemistry of winning. You, of course, agree.
Of course.
That guy's smile. Don't you wonder about that dinner between Lindor and Cohen right before the deadline when he signed? What happened at that dinner? What did they talk about?
Well, they had to be talking about what both wanted at the time they were having dinner, and that was a marriage with each other for 10 years.
But you get a vibe. You get a vibe at a dinner that you don't get through an agent or a manager or a negotiation. That was so smart. This is where Cohen has done so many fantastic things, going to the park and handing out stuff, Hazari he was handing out, and the being a little active on Twitter. Very smart, this guy. Very, very, was so excited with this new ownership. Good energy.
And the Lindor trade and that signing, you know, does not that not signal a Major League Baseball team in New York City representing the National League? We didn't get that with the Wilpons, and we all know why.
Sometimes we did. They shelled out a lot of money Cespedes when it was necessary, and that worked out as far as it went until Lucas Duda couldn't make that throw. So, you know, sometimes they spent.
Of course, Harvey, you know, pitched that ninth inning. I have to admit to you that I was all for him coming out of the dugout.
So was I. I was at the park. We were all yelling for it, but it wasn't the right move. But that's okay. That's baseball. That was a magical team, those Royals. They deserved that win. They were great. Hosmer and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I still don't understand that play. because David Wright did check him on at third before he threw to first. And he made the play. What are you going to – you can't – I always happy to tip my cap. My favorite videos on YouTube are when they show the good sportsmanship, the guys that somebody makes a great catch over the wall and the hitter tips the cap. Oh, that just makes me glow. I love stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Wilpons are gone, and the fan base never felt connected to them, and – Bernie Madoff had a lot to do with that. No, you're right about Cespedes. And years ago, they did spend. They did spend, and we were concerned about them wanting to win, and they did. A lot of us were thinking, well, they don't want to win. A lot of Metropolitan fans, they don't think winning. No, they wanted to win, but we did wonder after a while that they didn't know how to win.
Well, it's not so easy to do, Steve. Look, if it was a matter of money, the Yankees wouldn't be 5-10. Look at they got every great player on paper. It's a very tough thing to do. Never underestimate the number of elements. But I'm going to talk about the smile culture going on in Flushing right now. That is, I'm telling you, when me and my friends are in the car and we're headed out to the ballpark, that's what we're talking about. We want to see that Lindor smile, the Dom Smith smile, the Stroman, the little guy with all these just somehow figured it out. It's just the mystery of it all. That's the charm of the sport. And you see, you don't get that in football. Of course, we don't see their faces so well. Basketball is a completely different kind of mood. It's indoors. It's just not the same. There's something about, like when Conforto was going through his struggles, you see it, you feel it. You, the whole physical chemistry of the guy, we can see it. This is the visible culture of baseball that makes it the greatest game ever invented.
And you realize that what seemed like forever, Conforto's elbow guard led the team in RBIs.
Yep. Yeah.
And how, and you know, how do you explain this? Only with the Mets, is it not? Only with the Mets can you, up until Saturday, describe their season with an elbow guard, a tarpaulin, and snowshoes with the seven postponements. Hardly seems like they've played a single game. I'm wondering if they've played a home game, Jerry, and whether or not you've been there.
I've been there twice already.
Okay.
And it's just, you can just feel a thing happening. And, I mean, it's there's something there. There's just something there. It's fun.
Do you like the new baseball rules that were?
What do you think?
No.
No.
You do like them?
No, I do not like them.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You're thinking that you don't like them.
No, it makes me sick. Okay, so the game is over earlier. Who wants less baseball? Not me. Mm-hmm. I don't. I like 18 inning games. To me, if you really wanted to do something, it's disgusting. Let me tell you why it's disgusting. What is the most valued thing in the game of baseball? A man on base. You work for that. You struggle for that. What is on base plus slugging? What does that mean? Does this guy get on? And then you're going to just whore that out, excuse my language, and put a guy on second in the top of the 10th? Just going to give that up? The most precious thing, the man on base? Just, it's like the I get it in tennis. You got the tiebreaker. I don't like it. I don't care if the game is shorter. You think you're getting young fans going to now suddenly flock to the game because it's 10 minutes shorter? Nobody gives a damn. Let me tell you what does matter. I am in favor. The only adjustment to the game I'm in favor of is batters stepping out of the box. 60s baseball, they just stood there in the box. I would be in favor of rules that change that behavior. But I don't care about extra innings. What's the other stupid thing that they have now?
Well, it's a three-batter minimum.
Yeah, I don't care about that. The DH coming to the NL, I could vomit on the street. I hate that. I hate the DH. I'm fine with it in the AL, but to make it a universal rule, which is, from what I'm hearing, is a fait accompli, makes me sick to my stomach.
Sometimes people wonder why, when you've been on with me, why I want to know what can somebody do that makes you laugh, that really draws at least a smile?
What do you think? Be funny. I'll tell you what makes me frown, trying to be funny when that is not your forte.
Right.
This is what we don't need more of.
And you see too much of that?
Well, being a comedian, I'm used to it. But I don't want to be, if you can make me laugh, that's great. But I'm really just interested in you as a person. I am also a person. I like people who are themselves more than people who are trying to be funny. If that's not what you're good at, don't try and do that.
Well, let me say something about you, and I don't mean to embarrass you in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize that, especially in troubled times, like last year, and it's getting, as we alluded to earlier, a little bit better this year, but in troubled times, millions of people at the mention of your name will smile.
Oh.
Oh, no. You know that.
I don't know.
Well, anything. No, you should know that.
Well, that's nice.
Thank you, but
that makes me feel really nice. I appreciate you saying that.
It's true. The mention of your name will make people smile, and smiles are hard to come by. And I thought of that because you're talking about the culture with the Metropolitans changing from a frown to a smile.
Yeah.
And it is something, from last year. I've always said about last year, Jerry, about 2020, that if it was made into a movie, it would be written by Stephen King and directed by Quentin Tarantino. just awful. And of course, you know, people like, well, there's no one like Jerry Seinfeld. That has already been established. But the mention of your name, not to mention what people hear from you when you're on the late night TV shows or when you're doing with the coffee and the comedians, mm-hmm. and all of the other things, your stand-up, which you love to do, number one, you make people smile and you make people laugh. It is invaluable in these kinds of times, which fortunately are getting a little bit better.
Well, that's very nice, and that is really the reason I do it, and I have been very fortunate and done well in the business, but I'd really love to hear the laugh more than any check. I care about the laughs.
When does the public get to laugh again with you on stage with the stand-up? And I know that stand-up is number one with you.
Number one always with me, because that makes you feel the closest to the public. And that is a very special and exciting feeling. When you can actually feel that connection with, you know, just human beings, humanity. Yeah. And comedians get it in a very, very unique way. It's a very intimate connection in a comedy set when the jokes are hitting just right and you've got yourself in a good place and everyone's just having fun. It's really a weightless feeling on stage. And I'm working on some stuff right now, and I have another big project that I can't talk about yet that is coming soon. So I've got quite a bit going on at the moment, but I think it's coming soon that we will be seeing people in theaters doing stand-up again.
Okay. And by the way, any of your kids want to do what you do?
No. But I do have one kid that has a flair for it, but we'll see if the plant germinates in the soil or it's just a passing fancy. But comedy is somewhat genetic. It does pass through the genes. I definitely got it from my dad, and one of my kids seems to have gotten the gene from me, and we'll see where it goes. One never knows.
What would be the number one thing, although you probably won't say anything, but what would be the number one thing that the public, with an always self-revealing Jerry Seinfeld, when you've been on with me, you have been as grounded and as real and as honest about who you are and what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But what does the public not know about you that you could say something about?
What do they not know about?
I mean, they know you are Jerry from Queens.
They know what you. I think they know how much I love New York. I kind of made a fuss about that in the New York Times op-ed last year when that guy tried to say that New York was dead. I took that very personally, and I'm very defensive and proud of being a New Yorker. And
a lot of people moved out.
They'll be back. They'll be back. There's nothing like this feeling. It's like trying to change your sport team loyalty. Go ahead and try. Go ahead and try.
Yeah.
You're born to certain things, and the feeling and love of people is what brings you to New York. It's the reason I couldn't stay in L.A. It was the faces that I saw that I'm dealing with in between the stuff you're doing. New York is about the quality of life in between the stuff you got to do. We all have stuff we got to do, and then there's a lot of time in between that stuff where you're moving around, and I got to get here and I got to get there. And that's the texture of New York City living that is most precious to me, that long walk home or the faces on the subway or the just walking down the street and the guy in the, what I love in New York is you get into an elevator and you talk sports for a minute and a half with the other guys in the elevator or women if they're interested. That's New York to me, is you're always connecting yourself to people.
How about the food?
I love the food. I love the pizza. I love everything. And even though it's a little scary on the street now, I don't even care. I mean, I came here in the 70s. I don't care. I'm still on the streets every day. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I could reveal about myself that people don't know. I don't really have a big secret about anything. The thing about me is that I love to complain about how much I don't like things, but I don't like that it doesn't bother me that I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I enjoy complaining. It's a great Jewish cultural tradition. But there's a part of that complaining. Another great tradition of complaining as a cranky old Jewish guy is you better be funny when you do it. You better make it entertaining. That's a part of the culture that you must maintain. Don't just complain.
Yeah.
Be entertaining about it.
You once said to me that whether you're Howard Stern or whether you're any other kind of comedian or any other kind of, you know, public person who uses even dark humor, that if it's funny, it's funny. Whether it's dark humor, whether it's not dark humor.
Sure.
It could come from this person that uses maybe some off-color language or this person who doesn't, as long as it's funny.
That's right. That's the rule. And that's the other beautiful thing about stand-up. They don't care what other things you've accomplished. If you're not funny tonight, right now, they're not laughing. So it keeps you very honest. That's why I think I'm so connected to sports. It's the same thing in sports. Nobody cares what you've won in the past. If you're off tonight, we can all see it, and you go down. You lose. You lose that game.
Yeah. Have you had those kinds of off nights?
Sure. Most of I mean, not like it's uncomfortable, but we try and. Keep it in a range where the worst you are is still pretty good.
Yeah.
That's what we call, there's a word for that, we call it professionalism.
All right. Listen, I know that you're, you know, only with so much time, and you know
what I do. I have, my wife and I are doing something tonight. I have to go.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. And what is your personal... what's your personal, the status of your personal life now? Are you single? Are you living with someone? Are you married?
No, I'm married. And,
are you married? Oh, congratulations. How long have you been married?
About 12 years.
Oh, mazel tov.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm sorry I missed that affair.
I got married because I finally ran out of excuses.
Yes.
That's it.
Get with it.
And if we ever co-host another program, you're going to have to come over to the apartment because I'm still in my kitchen.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's why you say on the other side of the kitchen.
That's it.
Well, I have a feeling we're going to be talking a lot this year because I think it's going to be a big, fun Mets season. And, you know, I like to come on when we're on the upside.
Means a lot to all of us at the radio station. Great to hear the voice. Great to hear about new things that you're going to be involved in, and that's going to make a lot of people smile.
But
it's true, and that's the way it is.
I appreciate that.
I'm not going to ask you about Larry David's email.
No.
I won't do that.
I don't even have it, by the way.
Neither do I. We have something in common.
Yeah.
But anyway, I can't thank you enough for giving us 35, 40 minutes here. And I look so forward to the next time we could do it again, talking about New York baseball, and the New York Metropolitans for sure.
It will be soon.
Thanks, Jerry, a lot.
Thanks, Steve Arena.
Okay. And there it is. And we acknowledged the feud. And not a fake feud, to be honest with you, where, again, it really was not going back and forth it was going back and forth with silence for a couple of years, and just great to have him back on to the sports talk radio station that has always, since day one, meant something to him.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.